my shepherd and only provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his house forever until the end of time. Jesus, my shepherd and only provider, you make me lie down. Beside the still water, you restore my soul.
Hallelujah. Yes, he does. He does. He really does restore our soul. He's just super awesome, isn't he? Glory to God. Yes, you are welcome to your daily energizer, your daily boost, daily faith boost, daily spiritual coffee. However it means to you and whatever it means to you, just, all right. So you're welcome. It's just been amazing this week for us. Okay. And then we're here at the third episode of this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful topic that we're dealing with. All right. So praise God. Praise God. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy, they follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right. So amen. Okay. So he leads us. All right. He guides us. He instructs us. He is our shepherd. He's mine. He's yours. I would love to believe that this series have helped you in some form to increase sensitivity, to increase yieldedness, to increase, you know, that deep relationship, deeper relationship with the Lord as your shepherd. I know our mode, our operational mode might be get up and go, get up and get this done. I'm represented an Isaac, all right? And God says, okay, offer up Isaac. Could you say, Lord, I cast my crown. Lord, you're more important to me than anything else. I know you know that God won't want you broke. I know you know he won't want you poor. But you must understand, he won't want that anything takes his own place in your life. It's easy. And I know it's easy to say, okay, God, you have 30 minutes of my time every day. And Lord, I've been devoted. I mean, God, you can't say I've not been devoted. God, you cannot say. And it's amazing. All right. We tell him, I like to listen to Ken Hagin and his sincerity. All right. In his relating with the Lord. And he was, you know, teaching. And he said, the Lord said to him, all right, you don't believe that. You know, that scripture you're standing on, you really don't believe it like you say you do. And I mean, this is Ken Hagin. No, Lord, you were here from, I would tell you that, no, it's not true. And the Lord would reveal, listen, this is, you know, I listened to an old teaching of his, you know, and it said that the Lord was telling him about his teachings, you know, and said, you have a lot of mixture in those, your teachings. He said, Lord, really? No, I'm a stickler for the word. And he said, the Lord began to reveal to him, this is word, yeah. But this is tradition, yeah? But this is just unbelief and all of that. We're like, oh my goodness. And then he adjusted. But what if there was not such relationship, not such openness with the Lord? And that's where many of us could easily get deceived. We relate with him the way we believe, the way we think, all right? The way we just assume is ideal. But what if he has expectations for more? What if he's just yearning for more? One of the things the Lord yearns for is that prime place in all our lives. Prime place. It's easy to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and my Savior. Oh, it's so easy to say. But that prime place in all our lives. Lord, this is you, unreserved. Even he had to say that to them in the Old Testament. You know, place no other God before me. New Testament version, God versus Mammon. Now we know it's God versus anything else, all right? So many things conflicting with his own place. And all he's asking is, get away with me. Create time. I've read that for like 2 days now. All right, Isaiah 30 and then Isaiah 32. And I mean, how that these guys just feel, yeah, right, Lord. We know what to do. And all of that. But I mean, God knows exactly what he's saying to every single one of us. He knows what he wants. He knows how it should be. Okay. So in that Isaiah 30, okay, we've picked, you know, we've read it. All right. But let me just read it again in 15. It says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, NIV guys, right? This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. I mean, God is saying, if that's what you want, that's what's going to happen, because the trouble only gets bigger. We dealt with a lot of this yesterday, so I won't want to spend too much time there. In case you're joining today, you could just click just right above there, you know, Morning Faith, then it takes you to the entire archive, all right? So the Lord is giving, God is giving an invitation to his people, say, come and rest. And almost like adding, please, like seriously, come and rest. Hebrews chapter 3, you would be quite familiar with this. I'll take it, you know, from the New King James, just to be quite close to the King James context, all right? So Hebrews chapter 3, I'll pick it from the 7th verse now. Let me just quickly switch myself, to New King James. So Hebrews 3 from verse 7. Therefore, all right, it's quite some read. We're going to read from Hebrews 3 into Hebrews 4, but you'll get the picture, okay? You will get the picture. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, right? And in the day of trial in the wilderness. I said, we're talking about Israel, all right? That wilderness time they had with God. Please see God's invitation to rest and the frustration and the commitment and all. Today, if you would hear his voice, don't hearken. So he's talking to them today, all right, saying, don't do what they did. Did you get that? All right, let's keep going. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. All this is Psalm 95, right? Beware, verse 12 now says, brethren. So it comes to current time, all right? Talk to them, all right? Quoted Psalm 95 to the nation of Israel, which was talking to the nation of Israel about what their fathers did in the wilderness. So now the writer of Hebrews brings what was said in Psalm 95 and still makes reference to it today. But see what is going on here, all right? Brethren, couldn't enter because of unbelief. Chapter 4 now, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached, all right? Indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. I know that part is familiar. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Please note verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. All right, did you get that? For we who have believed do enter that rest. Okay, please get that. We have entered it. Glory to God. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of a seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And now this is now written after the resurrection of Jesus. This is the book of Hebrews, saying there still remains a rest for the people of God. But remember what we read in the 3rd verse. It says, for we who have believed have entered that rest. Now, we've entered the rest on one hand, but then we don't see rest manifested in the lives of believers on the other hand. Please don't get this. We've entered rest, yet we don't see rest. We've entered rest, yet many believers do not experience rest in their everyday life. There is an invitation to come to rest. There is. Your mind might want to quickly go to Matthew 11, and we're going to go there, right? Just in some minutes. There is an invitation. Because in Christ Jesus, we have entered our Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our Jubilee. Jesus is our rest. Do you understand that? In Christ, all works cease. All the works have been finished from the foundation of the world. So you're not working to get healed. You're not working to get accepted. You're not working to get blessed. You're not working to do anything. All you do is believe. So the crime they committed was unbelief. So now that you're in Christ, a believer in Christ Jesus, and you've come into Christ, if you still walk in unbelief in any area of life, you will lose the rest that is already, it is yours. But you will not enjoy. Maybe that might be a different way or better way to put it. But you're not just going to enjoy. The rest is your own. So you are in a place of rest, but you're not rested. Did you get that? You're in a place of rest, but you're not rested. Come on, guys. What is available to the entire church? You know, Hebrews in chapter 12 says we've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to an innumerable company of angels. Yeah? So Hebrews 12 says we have angels. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1 says we have angels. All right. I mean, Psalm 34. I mean, we see it all through. We've dealt with that, you know, under fear not. Okay. But do you know how many of us every day still experience fear? Fear of something might go wrong. Fear of someone might hurt me. Fear of someone might harm me. Listen, you have entered rest. You've come into Zion, where there's an innumerable company of angels. The only reason you will not experience rest where protection is concerned is because of unbelief. Okay? Now, stage one will be ignorance. You do not know. Stage two is you've known, but you don't believe. You haven't settled it into your heart completely, radically, unequivocally, that I've come into my rest in this area. Please get this, child of God, and I believe it will bless you. God has done all that God needs to do. God has made available all that God needs to make available. Don't forget, the work was finished before the foundation of the world. Let me read verse 3 again, all right? It says, "For we who have believed have entered into that rest. As he has said, I swore in my wrath that they will not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." So the work was finished from the foundation of the world, but these guys didn't enter it. So we who have faith in Christ, we who believe, we now enter because the work is finished. Okay? We have entered what was finished, that Jesus now physically, literally came to display. In finishing, we believe, so we enter. But the point is, haven't entered. The caution here is, if there is still an evil heart of unbelief, it distorts the rest. It distorts the rest. So the place of rest he has brought us into is a place where needs are met. Oh, but are all needs met physically every day? No, but rest. 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 Why should I rest? Because you know that all things will work together for your good. Because you know that through faith and patience you inherit the promises. Because you know that he's blessed you already. So you rest in it. So we cannot enjoy rest in as much as we're in a place of rest without faith. So rest is an expression of faith. Glory to God. Rest is an expression of faith, because a person who is resting has ceased from his work. Did you get that? The person who is resting has ceased from his work. All right? So, child of God, are you perturbed? Rest. Take a minute during today. Stop and say, I refuse to be perturbed. My heart is racing. I refuse to be anxious. I rest. I rest. Your brain is going, so how's it going to happen? I rest. I rest. I rest in his love. I rest in his wisdom. I rest in his counsel. I rest in the fact that my Father has gone ahead of me and he has provided all things for me. I rest in the work that has been finished from the foundation of the world. I rest in the fact in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I am his workmanship. I am created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which were finished. So I'm only here to act out what was perfected. So no matter what looks ugly, this thing works out right. I rest. Now, you're doing well if you're doing that already with me right now, and if you plan to take some moments today to settle this. But let's go a step further, because we need faith, and faith can only come by God's word. Did you get that? So verse 11 of Hebrews 4, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. For he said, we who believe have entered. Why are you talking about rest again? Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one of you fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12 begins with four means because the word of God is quick, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of joint and the marrow, and the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So you cannot rest effectively without coming to the word. All right? Because the word will reveal your heart. The word exposes whether you're resting well or not. When you come to the word, you see. So verse 13 builds it up again. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open, all right, to the eyes of him with whom we give account. Seeing then that we have a high priest, hallelujah, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Child of God, this, I believe, is a time to understand that you cannot effectively rest without answering God's invitation. Come and rest. Come. So Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I like to teach that we have come boldly, but you could be at the throne of grace and still not take the rest. So whether I want to argue over, are we coming boldly? Have we come boldly? If you've come boldly already and you're not taking your rest, you're not different from the person that is yet to come boldly in his own understanding. Do you get the point I'm making now? Because we could argue over that and get lost on the point. Come boldly to the throne of grace, child of God. Obtain mercy. Find grace. What are you dealing with? What is overwhelming you? What is overwhelming you? Stop and say, no, I have access to the throne of grace. I obtain mercy and grace to help me in this time of need. Is it in the finance area? Is it health? Is it what? There's throne of grace and there's mercy. So you approach your high priest. How do I do that? In prayer. And I cannot talk to him without knowing what has his word said. So Lord, I rest on this verse. I rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You've got to rest from the thing that is bothering. I remember Kenny Hagin was talking about when he was pastoring a very troubled church. Very, very troubled church. All right. Issues here and there and all. She said one day was, you know, in the church hall, you know, praying and all, you know, just getting to do certain things. He did not know. All right. He became aware. All right. Let me just, you know, use general language now. He found himself on the street. He's like, Lord, I don't know how I got here. How did I get here? He was so carried away with the burdens, carried away with the concerns and the pressures and the things not going out right, that he didn't even know. He lost consciousness of that in that state. All right. And he had to repent right there and say, no, Lord, I made a commitment to you and it quoted the year that I'll never worry again. I stand on that commitment. I refuse to worry. If the church will burn down and I'm sleeping, it should burn. He began to make a fresh commitment. I refuse to worry. If two deacons are fighting and I'm sleeping, I'll say nobody should come wake me up. When I wake up, I'll come restore. He was simply saying, I refuse to carry the care. This is not him being irresponsible. He said, no, he maintained his job. He will visit the members, prepare a message, but I refuse to carry the load. Because Peter says, cast your cares on him. Rest is an expression of faith. Child of God, rest is an expression of faith. You cannot claim to rest. You cannot say you're resting and then you're perturbed. Oh, rest by faith. In Job chapter 3, the 25th verse, Job said, "For the thing that I greatly feared has come unto me, and that which I was afraid of has come to me." And I know you know this verse, but I want you to see the 26th verse. He said, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." I read 26 again. "I was not in safety, neither had I rest," or had I rest, all right? I didn't have rest. "Neither did I have quietness." I wasn't quiet. I wasn't still. "Yet trouble came." So, hey, something's going to go wrong. Something's going to go wrong. Hey, something's going wrong. So, and then the thing still goes wrong. Rest. Do you want to say after me? I rest. I rest. I rest. I rest. How's it going to work? I rest. I rest. How's it going to play out? I rest. I rest. How's this thing going to happen? I rest. I rest. I rest. I rest. I rest. For the Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. God's invitation of rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. I will give you rest. God's invitation of rest. God's invitation of rest. "Take my yoke upon you," Jesus says, "and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You will find rest for your soul. Don't forget. You'll find rest for your soul. Huh? He restores my soul. You'll find rest for your soul. Take a minute. I remember, and I close on this, Bishop Lepo talked about a day his daughter, you know, she just collapsed in the house. And then she had to be taken to the hospital. And he got up from there. You know, obviously, I'm sure he must have tried praying for her, raising her up. Got up and went, you know, to work and did everything normal. Reached out to the staff, had morning devotion. Then he sat at his chair and began to worship. He began to worship. Three scriptures came into his heart. And then he sent those scriptures that, "Please read them over her." And he said, as they read the scriptures over the girl, she came alive. Rest. I said yesterday, when the water is still, then you can see the image in it. It's in a place of rest you see better. In a state of rest, you hear better. In a state of rest, you pick things better. In a state of rest. Please rest. Rest in his love. Rest in his promises. Rest in him. Rest in his plans. Child of God, rest. I believe this blessed you. And I believe it will keep blessing. Kindly share. Let's all honest get blessed. All right? Keep resting. And I'll see you tomorrow. Praise God. Restore my soul.